the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, we heard earlier about the impact of Israel's attacks on Iran this week, but how did it manage to conduct such an attack? And will this unrest in the Middle East further force European countries to increase their military capabilities? We're joined by Dr. Patrick Burry, Senior Associate Professor in Security in the Department of Politics, Languages and International Studies at the University of Bath. Patrick, you're very welcome to the programme. First of all, the Israeli attacks to destroy Iran's nuclear capability, do you think at this stage is it likely to have been successful? Has it damaged it or destroyed it? I mean, a lot of these things are in deep bunkers. One of them is apparently inside a mountain.
Good morning, Richard. Yes, I mean, it's very difficult to say. We'll have to wait for the battle damage assessment. But we have heard an IDF spokesman say that they targeted a storage facility of enriched uranium at the Natanz nuclear enrichment facility, and that has been targeted successfully. It was underground. The International Atomic Energy Agency has said that there is some radiation, but at the site, but it's, you know, underground and within the site. So that would seem to verify the IDF's claims. The problem is, as you alluded to, there's other sites, Erhant, and the most famous one is Fordor, which is deeply buried beneath a mountain. It looks like, according to Persian media yesterday, that the Israelis did actually have a go at that, but again, unverified. And most of the military analysts assess that Israel would struggle to have the munitions needed to really you know, destroy that site, and that the US wouldn't be needed to do so. And obviously they're not involved in these strikes. So I'm a little bit skeptical to answer your question about that. Have they taken the whole nuclear enrichment facility out in one blow? Unlikely.
It was a pretty very well coordinated series of attacks, pretty audacious, because part of it involved Israeli personnel on the ground in Iran setting up drones and targeting from the ground.
That's correct. So you had obviously the airstrikes, but for the airstrikes and you know, at the nuclear facilities, and crucially and quite comprehensively, the ability to target senior leaders who were meeting for emergency meetings in bunkers and simultaneously leading nuclear scientists. That's very impressive and shows a level of intelligence penetration that would, again, have the Iranians very worried. But they know that they've been badly penetrated numerous occasions recently by the Israelis. We've seen from the different attacks, etc., and assassinations. But yeah, there's a ground element too, to enable the aircraft to get in as safely as possible. Iran has a bunch of Russian-made S-300 mobile surface-to-air missile launchers, and they've managed to locate them. It looks like commandos have been using probably Javelin missiles, destroyed those. They've also probably located a few mobile ballistic missile launchers, we think, and attacked those, and taken out the radio, some of the radio needed for the air defense systems too. So very comprehensive attack, a little bit like the Ukrainian attack on the Russian strategic air base almost 2 weeks ago now, showing the ability of what I'd call like deep impact or strategic impact raids by ground forces on what was seen as kind of conventional air defence.
What about the human impact of all of this, Patrick? I mean, the actual number of lives, Iran is reporting, I think, 60 or 70 people killed so far. The numbers from their retaliatory attacks in Israel have been very small, but there's such a powder keg of risk here of escalation, isn't there?
Absolutely. And, you know, at least, yeah, I think I was talking to somebody who's got relatives in Tehran. She said there's been a lot of civilian casualties. So, yes, around 80 potentially. And you saw the pictures yesterday then of the incoming ballistic missiles into Tel Aviv. It looks like actually some of them, they were going for the military headquarters of the Israelis, so in downtown Tel Aviv, and it looked like they struck at least near to it. So yes, there's going to be civilian. I mean, this is war. This is what happens. They're targeting military installations. They're trying to, but it's collateral damage.
And the scope for escalation, if, for example, Iran were to attack regional energy supplies, or if, for example, the likes of France or the UK was to assist in helping Israel to defend itself from new attacks, it really could escalate very quickly, couldn't it?
Well, the real risk is chain ganging, which is when a partner of an alliance does something and then drags its other allies in who reluctantly, do you know what I mean? If you think of a chain gang going off a cliff or something like that. So, yes, especially with the US. And, you know, the US has said it will only assist defensively in terms of supplying Iran with Israel with defensive weapons and in terms of providing it with intelligence. And it will only help that way. And the UK and France have helped defend Israeli airspace before in these large Iranian attacks. The risk is if something happens that the US in particular feels it has to get involved more directly, which would be very concerning. And as you've probably discussed, the Strait of Hormuz issue then would tend to become more of a risk as well. So, yeah, I mean, at the moment, I think this isn't over. I think it's as much about the nuclear program, given the noise coming out of Israel, as about actually trying to facilitate the conditions for regime change in Iran. They've identified a window of opportunity. They have taken, you know, cut off a lot of the proxy tentacles that Iran had. And now they're realized that if Iran got a bomb, that would essentially close that window of opportunity. So they're going for it.
And as you say, it's certainly not over. Dr. Patrick Burry, Senior Associate Professor in Security in the Department of Politics, Languages and International Studies at the University of Bath. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.